The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 12th through Sunday, August 18th, 2024. The commentary for the month of August was written by Chris Metter, who lives with her husband in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where they are members of a bilingual parish, St. Bede's Episcopal Church. They have two adult children. Retired from law practice, Chris has turned her attention to local food ministries and teaching English as a second language. The commentary for Monday, August 12th, begins with the passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 18. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Today's gospel is at once awesome and devastating. Nicodemus knows that Jesus is sent from God, but he does not yet believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus speaks in metaphors about being born of water, hearing the wind, and standing in the light, explanations that stir more questions than answers. Nicodemus does not get it, and many of us do not either. I grew up in the late 1960s, a time when many friends and neighbors went to church every Sunday. At a young age, I came to believe easily that Jesus is my Savior. As a young adult, I realized that some of my friends wrestled with the Word at great length. I admire this and believe God honors genuine inquiry. Over the years, I have met people who gave up on their faith journey out of boredom or frustration. Others were simply not convinced. Here is where I must stay in my lane and leave any condemnation to God, and instead pray about my own nagging questions. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from the heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 12th, where are you on your faith journey? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 13th. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Here's the commentary. The truth endures. Sometimes the truth can be hard to discern and even harder to persuade others to believe. The truth does not change, although we may change our perspectives. The Pharisee Gamaliel had it right when he said that the early Christians could not be overthrown if they were from God. Despite many obstacles, the early Christians continued to share the good news. Not only did the disciples and others testify about the resurrection, but also their message had staying power. More than 2,000 years later, the foundation laid by these early Christians continues to flourish around the world. Over time, many movements have come and gone because they were flawed by human values and objectives. But the church has always been more than a movement. It is the body of Christ in the world today. The teachings of Jesus to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves are still the way, and they withstand the test of time. And now I'm going to read from this passage from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 42. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had him flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, what can you do to learn more about the early church? The commentary for Wednesday, August 14th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 101, verse 2. I will strive to follow a blameless course. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with sincerity of heart within my house. We should always strive to set a good example at home, but I will admit to feeling that a family can be our harshest critic. I regret some of my actions when my kids were little, and occasionally these mistakes show up in my son's sermons. I, too, have been critical of my parents. My mother was a single parent for a time, working two jobs to support her three daughters. But she was tired, had low self-esteem, and was forced to give more than she had. One day, I must have pushed my mom to her limit because she threatened to sell me to a stranger on the street corner for a quarter. Of course, she was joking, but the sting of her words has lasted a lifetime. When the course we set is not so blameless, we can only recover by grace. David speaks to that sentiment, crying out for God to intervene. He reminds us that we need God's help, especially in our own home, when we struggle to act and to forgive as we should. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 101. I will sing of loyalty and of justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing. I will study the way that is blameless. When shall I attain it? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is base. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Perverseness of heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. One who secretly slanders a neighbor, I will destroy. A haughty look and an arrogant heart I will not tolerate. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, so that they may live with me. Whoever walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one practices deceit shall remain in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue in my presence. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all evildoers from the city of the Lord. And the moving forward question for Wednesday, how can you reconcile a hurtful act or omission by a family member? Can you ask for forgiveness and can you receive it? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, August 15th, the day on which we celebrate St. Mary the Virgin. It begins with a passage from Galatians 4, verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. I do not remember knowing any adopted children when I was growing up, but my biological parents divorced when I was very young. When my mother remarried, I did not take my stepfather's name. This raised questions among my peers. My family was broken. My stepfather, Bob, got the family package when he married my mom, three preteen daughters. After some adjustment, he took to the challenge and helped our family to mend. Bob and my mother were married for more than 50 years. He has been a strong father figure to me throughout my life. Bob treated me and my sisters with respect as his heirs. I know now that not everyone is this lucky. Children are vulnerable, especially when their parents die or divorce. History is replete with stories of wicked step-parents and unwanted children pressed into servitude. This is why adoption is so important. God invited us into the family and then took it one step further and made us heirs to the kingdom. And now I'm going to read from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. And the moving forward statement and suggestion for this Thursday is, thank someone who cared for you as a parent. The commentary for Friday, August 16th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 102, verses 23 and 24. He has brought down my strength before my time. He has shortened the number of my days. And I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years endure throughout all generations. Most of us have come to expect that we will live for a certain number of years. We plan for retirement and qualify for life insurance. My 89-year-old mother passed away last year after a slow decline in and out of rehab clinics. We celebrated her life and accepted the inevitable end. Several years earlier, we were devastated to lose my sister to cancer. She was 63. Every anniversary of her passing, we grieve, feeling cheated that the number of her days was shortened. I thank God that I do not know the number of my days or when my strength will be brought down. I fear that I would forget to live in the present if I knew when my time on earth would end. We have no right to a long life, only a responsibility to live the one we have. Only by grace do we live out our days, and by that same grace we meet our Maker. And now I'm going to read the passage from Psalm 102, verses 1 through 24. Hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is stricken and withered like grass. I am too wasted to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like an owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. All day long my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have lifted me up and thrown me aside. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to favor it. The appointed time has come, for your servants hold its stones dear and have pity on its dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet unborn may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, so that the name of the Lord may be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, do not take me away at the midpoint of my life, you whose years endure throughout all generations. And the moving forward question for this Friday, have you done the important work of grieving a loss? Do you help getting back? Do you need help getting back to the present? The commentary for Saturday, August 17th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." Do you want to be made well? It is a simple question. The man lying by the pool is so focused on the process of a miracle that he seems to forget why he is there. After years of waiting, he is blind to the possibility of another way to healing. Do you want to be healed, rescued, unburdened, or forgiven? The simple answer is yes. But how often do we encounter obstacles that become bigger than our objective? How often do we get waylaid by the details of the journey and forget our destination? Jesus is undeterred by our shortcomings. He knows what we need before we even ask. With God, all things are possible. It is okay to need help getting unstuck, reframing our issues, or trying new tactics, and recognizing that we need help is usually the first step in the journey. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into this pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that he was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, are you stuck in a problem with no ready solution? Can you be open to a new way of healing? Now, as we near the end of the week in this program, we turn to Sunday, August 18th, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. In the summer of 2003, I left my husband and children in the care of extended family to undertake a pilgrimage in Spain, the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James. Before I departed, the rector of my church gave me this verse from Proverbs to reflect upon. Some might question the wisdom of leaving my young family and walking alone in Spain with minimal Spanish. Already I was bogged down in the details, the heat, my oversized backpack, the blisters, and the sleeping accommodations. But near the end of my journey, I began to make room for insight. After one grueling morning walk, hours before dawn, I looked over my shoulder to see an enormous orange sun skirting the horizon. In this flat, boring section of the Camino that I had dreaded, I felt an unexpected closeness to God. Surely wisdom comes from God, and seeking this closeness to God is the way. I remind myself today to stay alert, especially in life's dreaded places where I just might find insight. And now I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, August 18th, is where do you find closeness to God and insight into how to move forward? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.